Welcome to episode 30 of the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd Barnes.
Me, Jake Keane.
And a special guest live here in Newcastle is...
Sam Sugarman.
Sam Sugarman, all the way from Wales, but we're here live in Newcastle because we're recording a special episode from the South Tyneside International Festival of Magic.
Stimpf, baby.
Stimpf, baby.
And we're recording it entirely naked.
We are. We
still got our socks on, but...
but not on our feet.
Socks and Crocs.
It's true. Actually, the socks part's not true.
Just Crocs.
The Crocs are for utility purposes because I use them as an index.
Each little Croc holds a different rolled up cigarette.
Keep your fingers away from my Croc hole.
Brilliant. Off to a great start. So anyway, guys, we are here. It's the Sunday night. It's actually 8:05 Sunday evening, 15th of October. The convention finished around, I don't know, say...
3 o'clock
this afternoon, so it's 5 hours ago. And we're just sort of going to have a little... convention debrief, I suppose. And normally we get into the creative side of stuff and talk about what, you know, jamming ideas, trying to come up with new concepts and tricks. But this episode, we figured we would give you our literally like live on the scene, well, not live, we're live here, but not live at the convention, sort of take on all the crazy stuff that we've seen. And we see some incredible things. So,
Yeah, there might still be a tiny little bit of creativity because there is some venom that I need to get out of my veins. And if I don't release it once a week, then, you know, I go home and self-flagellate.
And this is why we brought Sam along. He's the human guinea pig.
Yeah, so yeah. I can flagellate him.
Please. Great start. So glad to be here.
Well, you know, let's start off. Sam is a local magician to me. He's from Wales. He's 19 years old. He's a gigging magician. You have how many residencies?
Four
residencies at 19 years old. Absolutely slays it with the public audience. Just got back from doing a little bit of work in Spain and also a member of the Magic Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Passed with Flying Colours, first audition.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. I'm thinking wish I could say the same for my driving test, but that didn't go as well.
Yeah, well, you can't be good at everything, no. Sam. And Sam is, for such a young age, and for being based in Wales, he does actually rub shoulders with quite a lot of the big name magicians out there. And none more so than this weekend, where I think one of the first people and the person you sort of hit it off with and you've known for a while is close-up card magic champion of the world, Mark Hobey.
Yeah, I met Mark in the session, so almost a year ago now, and we've talked ever since. Had a few running jokes, and yeah, we've had a good time this convention. It's been really nice.
It was great to see him live and up close because I've only ever seen him on the internet. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him at any conventions so far, so it was really, really good to see that specific kind of style and act in person.
The crazy thing with Mark Hobey is I bumped into him at the session really briefly as I was leaving, and he had come out of the toilet, or I'd come out of the toilet, something weird. We weren't in there together yet. And so I really had no understanding of like what his off-stage character is like. But it turns out it's exactly the same his crazy on-stage character.
He is a big, fluffy, French teddy bear. And that is the only way to describe him. Everything you see in that 14-minute FISM act is exactly what the man is like in person. There's no difference. There's no difference.
No, there's not. I don't know what the best word to describe him is. Maybe like he come like aloof. Like he just don't. He just sits there. He doesn't care. Like he opened it. He opened his act like he did with FISM. I think it was even longer though. By not opening his act.
Mm.
They introduce him, and I think it was a very long, maybe 90 seconds, where he just doesn't even come on stage. Halfway through his act, he just gets up and goes and gets a pack of crisps, starts dishing them out to the crowd and eating them. Not part of the act at all. He wanted a snack.
I mean, he doesn't even do a trick for the first 5 minutes. Like,
no.
the first 5 minutes of his act, he just stands there and talks. Like...
It's well, he doesn't even talk, he like mumbles, doesn't he? He's like, so you want to see a trick? And my mother, she like red flushes. Hello, he introduces himself like 5 times. It's phenomenal how he captures the entire audience's attention. It's like he's like a professional idiot in a way. Like, you can't, some people couldn't get away with it.
It's Andy Kaufman style. It's just to a T. And the funny thing is, Andy Kaufman, a lot of the things that he was most famous for were things that a magician would definitely do, and to see someone actually do a kind of Andy Kaufman style character as a magician, it seems like that was what it was meant to be, because all of his stuff was like that.
I know a lot of people who have said he's like Andy Kaufman, Leonard Green kind of copycat, but he isn't a copycat because it is him. That's the only way he can perform, because it's what he's like as a person. And I don't think I've ever seen a Phism act in its entirety work better on layman than it does the Phism judges. Like, the act won Phism and still hits harder on layman than it did the Phism judges. It's phenomenal.
Wait, do you mean the other way around, where it hits the judges harder than the lay people?
No, I think it hits like it's a better act for lay than it is for the Phism judges, but it's still won.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because most of the time Phism acts are created to showcase how the extremes of how far magic can be pushed in terms of like the what can be achieved. But really, a lot of the times for Phism, that's more like in things for judges or in jokes in a way. Like, oh, they make you think they're palming a card when they're not.
Yeah,
but yeah. Well, this was the strange thing about this convention, is that two nights running, there was a gala show, but the gala show wasn't for magicians. The gala show actually let in the public. Mm. And it was... This whole convention is put on by the South Shields Council. It's a council-run magic convention. Unbelievable. So, yeah, there were just local people here. People like... I'm guessing a few people interested in magic, but really they just advertised it to a local town. So we're in the north of England in a town called South Shields. And literally, there are people like Giancarlo Scalia, Maurice Mueller, Mark Hobie, world champion of magic, Luke Jamay, all these people performing on a stage, a real theatre stage. I'd probably say it holds around 500 people, maybe 500 people.
I think maybe more.
Maybe more. Maybe real theatre stage, just in this little, essentially just some town that you've never been to. Never heard of, and they've got literally the best magicians in the world.
Like Mark Spellman, who's been over TV. Like, that's so rare for just a small town just to have a name as really as big as Mark Spellman just comes to their local theatre.
The reason I bring that up off the back of what you said is that Mark Hobie, I watched Mark Hobie's Phism, I'm blown away, right? We all are, we're magicians, and it's hard to see how he works with the crowd. I think I was even talking to, I can't remember who it was, and if I do remember, I won't drop them in it, just for the sake of saying. We honestly thought, this is not going to go down well. Mark Hobie's act is not going to work on the public. Because it's a lot of like magician like fooling things. But yeah. B, also, you're in Newcastle where there's the dry, hard men. You know, they don't take any crap. And he actually destroyed the lay crowd. They absolutely went crazy for him.
I think it was... Even the Illusion Act, it was the loudest ovation of the whole convention, and in my opinion, I think it was the act of the convention.
Yeah.
I think crushed.
I'm trying to... I don't want to do any disservice to any of the other acts. No. I think he was the act of the convention, specifically with the lay audience, because I don't think anybody could quite believe what they'd see.
Yeah. I feel like even, like, stronger impacted after seeing... like some beautiful, like artistic card magic and manipulation just minutes before, and then just seeing this bumbling buffoon come on stage, I think it was just such a like a complete contrast to it that the crowd couldn't help but react.
Yeah. It was just like, yeah, they just like, are we watching, it was like, yeah,
it was confusion
and wonder and astonishment, curiosity, and then. Big moments of amazement, where nobody, even the final of his live act, was. I was sat next to magicians, and they were like, I don't know how he actually did that.
Yeah. Complete fooler.
I think having something like that is just such a, especially in an act that is so polished, and then you have this just complete change of tempo. It keeps it all engaging, keeps everyone captivated. And probably keeps the lay people audience wondering what's going to happen next, and maybe a bit more excited for what does happen next. It's such a fun way to just slot this amazingly absurd act in between these polished. Not to say that that isn't polished; it's purposefully unpolished in a way that is the most ridiculously polished routine ever.
It's kind of like do you know what I love about it is that. So the other magicians were actually out of this world, phenomenal, world-class magicians. And I'm so proud of Magic for showcasing those abilities to lay people. Because often they just the average person will just think of a magician in classical terms or things which can be quite cheesy. So they not only did they just get to see the best magicians in the world doing it in the way which they never didn't know it could be done as well that way, but they also got to see the actual depths of the creativity of magic. Like with Marcobi, they never expected anything like that whatsoever. And it just shows the diversity within magic as opposed to either A, TikTokers, or B, classic style magic, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, not that we were without the charms of TikTokers, because we did have...
Oh, of course, yeah.
Social media superstar.
Oh, don't get me started. I've actually become a fangirl of Jack Rhodes. I spent the weekend following around like a puppy.
Chasing around with your autograph book.
Yeah, it wasn't far off. We exchanged numbers, so I'm going to call it like Sam is friends with someone and he uses their first letter for the name. Me and Jack, I'm going to call him Jay from now on. He's basically my best friend, so sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. You could be J2.
J2O.
J2's got a ring to it, though.
J2Ho. But I tell you what would be best to do is to go through. We have a lineup audio here.
I would love to talk about.
Well, Sam, this isn't your podcast.
This man.
Well, no. What I thought we would do is actually we kind of go through the running order so that we don't miss anyone out and we don't put anyone above anyone else. Not that anyone was, to be honest with you, but. So we're looking at one thing I'll say about this. This convention is limited to 150 people. And do you know, years ago, this is the 19th year of this convention, I've never been. I always used to say, up until about 4 or 5 years ago, the Session Convention was by far and large the best magic convention on the planet because it was so intimate.
Mm.
It was restricted numbers and the location was in such a way that you kind of had to integrate with the big names and the nobodies. It was like this meeting of any ability level and you just sort of had to get along and it worked. And then they moved the venue. They made the sizes bigger. It became a lot different in terms of... they tried to keep the same format, but really it doesn't... It's never had the same charm as it used to. And I've been searching for that since. If you listen to me and Craig, you'll know me and Craig wanted to do are currently thinking of doing our own convention to try and recapture the good elements of things like the Session and other conventions without having the elements that we think make conventions not good. With that being said, I do actually believe that South Tyneside is the convention that's captured the magic.
Yeah, and if anyone else is in the same position where they haven't been before, next year's the 20th convention, and they've promised...
Something
they've
huge.
Promised something huge.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't a backhanded, it wasn't like a off the beat promise, it was definitely something that's going to be big.
Yeah, so... I get asked a lot of questions, which a lot of people ask me which convention you're going to. This will be the one that I think above all that will be in my calendar for annual returns.
Yeah,
there's something very, very magic about this. I don't know whether it's just the people. It's organized by the town council. Every member of staff was just bloody lovely, like completely lovely. It was small, intimate, and I've probably seen better magic here than I've seen it any other convention. It's hard to say that, but I think maybe because I got to see every lecture, because it was organized really well, the choice of lecturers on top of that. So for me, this is by far probably the best hidden secret in all of magic in terms of conventions, and I've been to a lot.
Yeah,
so
no one come next year, actually. Scratch that.
Yeah, I know. I can't.
There's only 150 tickets. This can't be that many people that can come.
I'm buying them all.
Yeah, do you know what, there's 150 tickets. I wouldn't want it to sell out.
No,
I feel like the reason that, like, this is such a intimate convention is because it almost feels like it's too good to share a little bit. There's definitely certain types of people I see at conventions that I wouldn't want coming here.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? There's certain people that just go to just get twatted, drunk, or
they
go just to show off.
This is a place to learn and a place to be inspired, not a place to get drunk.
Well, don't get me wrong. There was loads of guys at the bar at like 4 a.m. Apparently, I don't drink, but they all look worse for wear. But some people go to Blackpool just for a piss up.
Yeah.
Like this ain't that. And I don't know. Maybe we should stop telling people how good this is.
Yeah, I think so.
We really should.
Get on to the acts.
Yes, the acts. So anyway, let's do a bit of a running order. We'll start off on Friday, the 13th of October. Unlucky for some, but not for us. Well, we didn't make it to registration in the first part of the day, which was the children's show and the children's lecture. Now, I've heard that they were phenomenal, and even the pro magicians were like, "Oh, it was so good that we made it to the children's lectures with their names Dove Citroen and Captain Calamity, because apparently they were
the same person.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, I didn't see it. But apparently he was phenomenal and taught like some of the pro stuff as well.
Yeah.
But we can't comment on that because we weren't there. He did host the show incredibly
well.
Yeah,
he was very, very entertaining.
But let's talk about the first lecture that we did catch, which is Mark Spellman.
Oh, yes, please.
Let's What a great one to start on as well. What a great guy to start on.
Yeah, I know. Super, super. That was the other thing about this lecture that was interesting, actually. All of the people who lectured, it seemed like the particular lecture that they gave, it was just for this. So that these lectures are things that only, I don't know, however many people could fit in the little cinemas, the little studio, those people are the only people who's going to see that lecture. They're not things that are repeated, which is very often the case, but something about this felt a little bit extra special.
Yeah, there was. And I mean, just to jump forward in time to Mark Spellman's gala show, because of, obviously, over this weekend, well, not over the weekend, but just before the weekend, Larry Becker passed away.
Yeah.
So what Mark did is something which he wouldn't get a chance to do for the normal lay public, because this was a mixture of magicians and the lay audience. He did a commemorative two pieces in one act, commemorative performances of the work of Max Maven and Larry Becker, a sort of chair test banknote type routine.
Yeah.
And what was the other one that he did?
A relocation and duplication.
Yeah. Yes, psychometry. So not psychometry. What's it called when you could tell? Not when you could tell who drew what. You know, like the Andy Lyman thing. Either way, it was just fantastic. It was just two routines put together to honor Max Maven and Larry Becker. Well, kind of cross them over in a way.
Yeah, there's some really, really cool combinations of routines, and obviously Mark Spellman's own little spin on it, which is, I mean, anyone who's ever seen him perform knows how much he puts into things, how sincere he is with his performances.
He has a way about him doing it. Do you know the thing about Mark Spellman is, well, do you know, that was the thing about that pretty much every single person here is that there was zero ego at this convention.
Yes. Zero ego.
I get like socially anxious as it is without since I've stopped drinking, so I find it hard to talk to people. But yeah, nobody really, like, none that I can think of, had any massive ego, and I think that makes such a difference in a convention where you've got a certain ones and it's the boys' club and they stick together and they don't want to talk to you if you do this. But it's always just seen everyone mucked in here.
Yeah, we were at a bar for maybe half an hour last night just to end the night out. And I met, I met a group of guys for maybe 5 minutes, maybe spoke to them for 5 minutes. I hadn't met them before and didn't know their names. And today we made an effort of meeting each other, just didn't even know each other's name. As soon as we saw each other, just went straight to each other. There was no separation between anything. It was just everyone wanted to speak with everyone and get to know everyone. And everyone was humble, no matter what they've done in the magic world, no matter what they haven't done. Everyone felt on an equal playing ground, no matter if you were a talent or just someone who's just getting into magic. Everyone was on the same playing field, and it was such a good atmosphere.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Going to Mark's lecture, though, I think it set the weekend off perfectly because, well, Sam, you do close-up magic. Jake, you kind of like, you're into mentalism, basically. Mentalism with a more like mystical touch to it.
Cringy.
No, yeah, maybe cringy. Me. And I like a bit of everything, sort of. I'm a bit of a general practitioner.
Oh, I like a bit of everything.
I'm just a bit of jack of all trades. And I think Mark Spellman's lecture sort of had hit every sort of note, didn't it? Yeah. It had a good pieces of magic, fantastic pieces of mentalism, some great scripting, which you're a massive fan of, like a connoisseur of, if anything, Jake. And so not to go through all the effects, but there was some great work with a oil and water using black and white and coloured cards. There were some really smart little touches for his book test. Remember the book test he showed?
Yeah. You know, which is weird, because I think the very first thing I learned from Mark Spellman many, many years ago was a book test.
Really?
And I can't even remember the name of the DVD, but Mark Spellman was a lot younger and looked a lot more like Peter Andre in it.
The thing that stood out to me from his lecture that I still remember, he had a switch envelope.
Oh, that switch envelope. Oh, God, that was
I don't know if it's anywhere online. I think it's called Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yes.
It's a vanish or a switch envelope that you can make in 60 seconds, and it's the easiest one I've ever seen.
Perfect. And also, that book test was called In the Shadow of Saxton. Shadow of Saxton.
Another class act, dude.
Yeah, dude, that was a phenomenal. We forget because it was 2 days ago now, but it actually was a phenomenal, phenomenal lecture.
Yeah.
And also, there's something about Mark Spellman. He is the type of person that should have the biggest ego, because the way he kept his, first of all, his VT with all the BGT stuff and all the people he's met perform for Adele and all these celebs. He's also rad on stage. Like, he's so slick, he's so polished, but so likable. He could come off stage, put dark glasses on, and swan off in a limo and not go to it. But instead, he's just a legend. And he came straight up after the lecture. He went to his dealer's table, and he was teaching us the card trick that he fooled us all with at the end.
I think it still fooled us after he taught it as well, funnily enough.
Yeah, fooled me big time after he explained the method. So the pacing of just to leave it on that note, it was just a phenomenal lecture. I kind of want to watch it again, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's some stuff that I know I'm going to forget, which is brilliant.
Every convention, especially one where they give you kind of like a welcome pack, sometimes you'll get a little pen and some notes. And every time I get them, I think, I'll use them this time. And I never do.
But the pacing of this whole convention was really good. I never felt like I was waiting around too long for anything to start.
No.
And I didn't miss anything. So we went straight from that into a quick break. Was that a 1 hour break? God, that didn't feel like an hour, that break between there. Because we went into then the Moritz lecture. After the dealers reopened, the Moritz Mueller lecture.
Yeah, Jesus.
Wow.
What a little star child he was.
Yeah.
And is.
Yeah, he's like the Dave Mirror of magic. Like Wonder Boy sort of thing. Yeah. Okay, you know, Moritz Mueller, if you don't know who he is, he was the 13-year-old phenom. Looked like the youngest member of Hanson. The kid that ended up on Ellen DeGeneres doing the three fly. But he does the coin magic three fly better than any coin magician has ever done it. His fingers just don't move. He just doesn't flash. He was 13 years old. Blew up onto the scene. Now, how old is he now?
23.
10 years later, he's back. And I'm trying to think of the word. When he was 13 and he got famous for that three fly, you could tell that was, he was 13 years old. He'd spent 12 3/4 years obsessing over the three fly. Yeah. Like getting it absolutely perfect. Or not just three fly, but coin work. The boy self-admittedly says he has OCD and he tries to perfect everything. And I think his lecture was the shining example of that. Everything Moritz does, this is the same thing everyone said about him, is perfect. Every slide is executed perfectly. Every trick is perfect. It all makes sense. Every bit of
precision German engineering.
Yeah, it is. Yes, Wolfsbrunn Dirk Technik. there's economy of motion in thought and everything he does. I can't even begin to actually sort of.
Yeah, things that are transferable to other areas of magic and mentalism as well, which is kind of insane. That's what you look for in a lecture. That's what I look for.
Yeah.
How can I apply this to the things that I do?
Even though every single aspect of his performance is completely perfect, he still manages to be one of the most humble and kind people the whole of magic. There, if you met him on the street, I don't think he'd even mention he was a magician. He wouldn't even. If you asked him what he'd done in his whole life, I don't think he'd bring up any of his huge accolades that he's managed to achieve. He's just that humble and that unfull of himself.
I thought I was the most smiliest magician. It's definitely Moritz, and he just spent the whole weekend giggling, laughing, running up to people and having zero ego. Again, another person, zero ego, and has every right to not associate himself with that scumbag.
If there's someone you can look forward to, an example of someone who maybe enjoys the tricks they perform more than anyone else, and how that is such a good thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's infectious. You watch him perform, and you can see the magic, you can see the magic coursing through his veins, and he's just loving it in the moment. And it makes you really appreciate it being there.
Mm.
You know, it makes it feel special, or it makes you feel special that you're getting to see him do what he loves. Very hard to describe, but one thing to say, it was a lot of card magic.
Yeah.
A lot of card magic, and it was very fooling card magic. And
I felt it was a lot of, like, ideas that he had taken from his experience in coin magic and applied to card magic.
Yeah.
Like, the elegance of it, he had really, really...
movements of it, the choreography of it. Yeah, he used all that stuff to, like, sort of bat us around the head and beat us to submission. So, yeah, that was Moritz, and phenomenal, like, just phenomenal. Quick break, and then we went into a lecture with Yolin Lee, the card manipulator from South Korea, now living in London. He may be my favourite person at the convention, Yolin.
Jesus, elegance and beauty.
Yeah, I maybe, can't take my eyes off him for all the wrong reasons.
maybe, like, double my body dysmorphia, but...
Yeah, first of all, his lecture was so good. He started off, it's card manipulation. Nobody there was a card manipulator, yet every single person was hooked on what he was saying. Because, again, the transferable teachings that he started off with was all throughout... was so poignant. And what I loved with is that he started off by saying, this five card vanish is boring. And suddenly everyone's like, okay, the elephant in the room is out of the way, sort of thing.
Instantly on side.
Yep. Instantly on side. And then he started showing us a bunch of really cool techniques and getting into explaining things that, like, all magicians need to know. For example, basic example was that when he's performing card manipulation on stage, he turns his body slightly to the side. Let's say he turns to his right side and he's looking at the card in his hand as he throws it into the air and vanishes, right? But he's not. He's actually looking about 1 foot towards the audience with his head and eyes, because realistically, if you turn your head to look at your hand that's parallel to you, the people who are in
stage right,
yeah, can't actually see the detail on your face. And as Luke Jamay said today, and Yolin said in his lecture, your face is the most important thing on the stage. Nothing is more interesting than the performer's face. Maybe for a moment, but throughout the thing, your face says it all, literally. And so Yolin just explained that when you're performing any sort of thing like that, look about a foot in front of you. So it looks like you're looking at your hand, but really, everyone in the audience can see your face. And maybe that sort of went over some people's heads, but the importance of that for anybody looking to be, if you're at a lecture, you should be there to learn. Anybody who thought that information wasn't relevant to them should not be willing to learn, or don't have the right to learn. Do you know what I mean? There was tips within that bloody manipulation lecture, which were better than some of other lectures I've seen on card magic, you know, from people I've wanted to go and learn from.
Yeah, and the thing that really, really shows how good some of the stuff is that you can be someone who's not interested in any of the stuff whatsoever besides to watch it. But card manipulation is something that I would never perform and was completely enthralled the whole lecture.
Yeah, I mean, well, literally, what did we end the night doing? Practicing card manipulation in the Little Haven Hotel.
Yeah, man. Sitting at a bar, busting out my back palm. Which, yeah, it sounds like a country song, but...
So then we had... Oh, my God. How do we not even mention this name sooner? I feel like this is... After that, quick break again. Christian Grace.
Yeah.
How do we not mention
the whole day, when you look back on that day, it was just non-stop big names. Just one after another.
Hammers after hammers after hammers.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Christian Grace lecture. He opened with a card effect, thought of card to box, using the polarity principle, so that he pioneered.
It's still my favourite card to box of all time.
It's just perfection, isn't it? And he performed on Luke Jamay. So, I mean, you all know how good Christian's card work is. The more recent, passion of Christian's is mentalism. And he performed and lectured his Enigma effect. So, do you want to explain sort of what he performed and how the crowd reacted to it?
So, if you haven't seen Enigma, it's Christian's own app. It is phenomenal to start. It's basically a thought of word divination. All he asks for is for the spectator to think of the word, to touch their fingers. There's a bit more in there, but nothing is explicitly said out loud, and just out of nowhere, Christian has the word. Just has it. Any thought of word, he just has it. It is one of the most beautiful pieces of mentalism I think I've ever seen performed. And it's commercially available, just in an app. It's genuinely crazy.
Yeah, I think anyone who has listened to this is going to be just as obsessed with Enigma. Absolutely beautiful. I lost my phone 2 weeks ago, which had my copy of Enigma on. I was very sad. I thought I was going to have to buy it again. And because Christian is a beautiful, beautiful ginger man, and he's actually my boyfriend now, because he is so amazing, he let me get an Enigma back on my new phone.
He's actually my boyfriend now. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, yeah, just to summarize what Sam said, it's as close to real mind reading as it looks like you can get. Somebody thinks a word, you can make a connection with them, and then you know that word. Obviously, it's not real. That's the only downside. So there's a small bit of procedure, but that's because it's not real. But what I will say is that there's been some controversy surrounding Enigma over the past few weeks. And what was good is that all that audience seen it perform. All that audience there today, a lot of them would have seen the controversy.
Yeah.
And they would have seen the controversy around things such as, it's long-winded procedure, blah, 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 blah. What they actually got to see was how it actually looks compared to what the comments or some of the controversy has tried to create around this. And there was a moment when, at the end, he got to the point where, well, basically he revealed the word and it looks incredible, and there was a gasp from the audience. Literally, the guy who was sitting next to me, there was a guy sitting next to me, Theo.
Oh yeah,
this guy we met called Theo. Parents from Manchester and Northampton, I think he said, or something. I don't know. But Theo he hadn't heard anything about it. Mm. He didn't know anything about it, and he had absolutely no clue. I think he said to me, was it stooched? He speaks in a English accent. He said something like that, and I was like, oh, you don't know what this is? And he was like, I have no idea. I've seen his other work. I was like, oh, it's this thing called Enigma. I won't spoil it for you. And he was like, he had absolutely no idea. And because he luckily has been sort of living under a rock, he got to see it for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, not for what it isn't that other people say. And yeah, the reason I say the audible gasp in the room is because I think when Christian revealed the word, I think they thought there was going to be a lot more procedure, and they were waiting for that. So it looked like he, you know,
it's almost like in the hands of an experienced magician or mentalist, procedure is just connection.
Yeah. Turns out if you're a half decent performer, you can make things look like real magic. But it was amazing, and then kindly he exposed the full workings to the entire crowd there, and give a discount on it to anyone who wants to buy it. So that was Christian Grace. I mean, he's a really dear friend to us, so I could just spend the next hour kissing his ass, but I think he'd be mortified to listen. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
So then there was a dinner break. It was 2 hours, perfect timing, because it was 5:30. Before coming back to the gala show.
Oh yeah, now we get to do restaurant reviews.
Oh yeah.
What did we? We went to an Indian that night, didn't we?
I think we actually live in the middle of Bangladesh right here. we live on the Airbnb we're staying at is basically surrounded by 309 curry houses, I believe.
Oh. I thought it was 308, the one down there closed down.
Oh yeah, 308.
No, it was replaced by the other one.
And there's a Spanish Italia, there's the Smash Burger. We got so many food places. So the first night we went to curry.
Yeah, the curry place. Randuni. See it out our window.
Randuni, we got some badass curries. Jake had, what do you have, mate?
Vegetable Dansak.
Vegetable Dansak, what do you have?
Chicken korma, because I can't handle spice, because I'm white.
not just white, the whitest boy in existence.
Yeah. I'm literally more than the both of you combined, for sure.
It's a state of mind, not your skin colour, bro.
I had chicken tikka just to keep it straight down the line. Like I said, you know, you've got a close-up magician, a mentalist, and a general practitioner. Oh, and it kind of fits the food you'd imagine. The mentalist.
Doctor.
What? Anyway, food was... I actually texted my wife, and I said it was definitely the best Indian food I've ever eaten. And I knew that because I wasn't hungry when I ordered it. You know, you know, if you have food when you're hungry, it's 10 times better.
Yeah.
I wasn't hungry, but God damn it, I forced that food down because it was so delicious. But then we went to the gala show. We had Captain Calamity as the host. That's where we've seen him. It was so good. And I'll just quickly run through the acts. And, well, Yolin opened up the show.
Yolin
in the Deep. He did his card manipulation act with an umbrella. It was phenomenal. Everything you'd expect from Yolin.
I wish I was just that cool. Honestly, he was standing there, standing still, not doing anything. Still cooler than I've ever been in my entire life.
Yeah, it's not fair. But after Yolin was Giancarlo Scalia. Again, I'd say general practitioner. Cards, coins, cups, balls type of material. And he did two tricks. Do you know that?
He did. Oh, God.
Impromptu invisible deck to open the show.
Yes. Beautiful.
And then a card to pocket, and then a card to pocket, and then a card to pocket, and then a card to pocket.
31?
About 31 card to
pockets. Didn't he say it was like 17 phase card to pocket or something?
It was, but it was rapid fire. It was the quickest palms you've ever seen in your life.
I think I'd seen a video of his card to pocket. When I say it, I think I'd seen it, I think I watched it like 100 times, something like that. And there were moments of that card, and four signed cards, we need to add, card to pocket. And there were moments of that, of it, when I was like, I have no idea how he just did that bit.
Where the hell did he get it from?
Yeah, yeah.
No idea.
Perfection. Yeah. Again, perfection.
And someone that, some people might think, if you're not a magician, you don't know who he is. You were kind of weirded out the other day when I told you my little brother, Giancarlo, is one of my little brother's favourite magicians.
Yeah, because, well, first of all, didn't know you had a brother.
I've got two.
I found that out this weekend.
And a sister?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you?
Why did you bring that up?
Because I didn't know you. I thought you were an only child. And then you have three.
Sam was looking at my sister's Instagram.
Yeah, was I?
He has got big only child energy, isn't he?
He does.
Go only fans energy.
Lonely fans, yes. And, yeah, but do you know what was interesting? Like, there were certain things I liked about the lecturers that would just... Like, for me, I love... He didn't lecture, this was his gala show, but I love that... did anyone realise he did an entire act of just stand-up card tricks on a stage to, like, 500 people? Think about the last time you've seen a guy, just one deck of cards, do his whole act. Not tabled tricks, not seated tricks, on stage, about 500 people, but deck of cards. No, nothing extra.
No camera special,
no camera, nothing. That's really unheard of.
Some people just have the charisma to carry that off. And the skill, obviously. But
yeah, his skill.
It was the perfect selection of tricks as well. Especially the card to pocket. You didn't need to see the face of the card. You knew exactly what was happening at every single point of that trick.
Probably how I got fooled so much, though.
Yeah, yeah.
From there, Mark Spellman went in and did his piece about Max Maven and Larry Becker.
Yeah. One of two moments this weekend where I've actually got a little bit choked up.
Yeah.
That looked beautiful.
Yeah.
You cried at the end of Luke Gervais today, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, bless.
It was phenomenal. So from after Mark, we imagine what Mark did. It was just so good. But after Mark, we've seen Ashley Goodwin.
Wow. Jesus.
Blew my mind.
We were in a position that wasn't exactly favourable to a performer performing those kind of moves.
She actually said, anybody sitting upstairs... People sitting
this
downstairs...
This is a lesson, not a show.
Yeah. No, what you say? No, yeah, no, no, what you say? Everyone sitting downstairs, enjoy the magic. Everybody sitting upstairs, enjoy the lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was not a lesson. It was every single slide, perfect. Absolutely perfect.
She did not flash. She came out on stage. Anyone doesn't know Ashley Goodwin, she's a young magician from Liverpool. She's around...
Manchester.
I'd say mid-20s.
Yeah, I think mid-20s.
And she specialises in sort of very... the most difficult... like Leonard Green style card magic, laser dealing, snap dealing, bottom dealing, anything like card gambling heavy, but more magic emphasis, but like ultra technical gambling slides. Does that make sense? So not gambling routines, magic, but like that sort of mix to it. I mean, you've been going to Blackpool Jigs since you were 10 years old, maybe?
Maybe six. The first time I think I went.
6 years old. You've been going to magic conventions since you got into magic, which has been years now, probably. I've been going to them as long as you, well, not as long as you, but for the last 15 years of my life, quite religiously. I'm trying to recall a time where I've seen somebody do the tech heavy shit to a live audience like that. Like
the balls.
Yeah. Ironically, yeah. The balls of steel that Ashley. Well,
you were saying that Ashley could have gone up on that stage, done self-working card tricks at her skill level, and got the same reaction.
Got bigger reactions.
But she didn't. This is what Lloyd said. She went up on stage and she did some of the most difficult slights I've ever seen, completely perfectly, just to have some fun.
Yeah, I don't know if it's to have some fun, but.
That's what it felt like, right? She could have gone up and done anything up there, but she it didn't feel like showing off, but I feel like if anything, it was just for her own, like, you know, go have some fun and do some laser deals on stage.
Yeah, it was something like that. Do you know, for me, it was, like, Giancarlo Scalia, yeah. The stuff he taught in his lecture, same as Moritz, he taught some really tech-heavy shit. Like, really difficult, complex, like, hand, but their live performance routines, they... And I don't mean this as a disservice, so if they're listening, but they removed any elements of danger. They kept it fairly straightforward and stuff they could not fuck up, like the things they could do in their sleep, which meant, like, you know, reduce the technicalities.
Yeah.
But then raise the protection levels. She didn't fuck around. She did some of the most.
It was a statement piece.
It was, that's what it was. It was a statement. Like, yeah, she, yeah, fucking regardless of gender, I actually can't. Yeah. I'm trying to recall the last person I seen do that tech heavy stuff to the lay audience.
I don't think I ever have.
I'm genuinely trying to recall it now for a lay audience. Maybe like Richard Turner, you know. I don't know. It was, you do have to see yourself. Check her out on Instagram. But there was a moment where she was like a bit wobbled by the nerves, and she said, "Oh, let me try that bit again," and then she did a laser deal sequence, and it just melted away. She was just from that point on effortless. It was really fucking impressive to see. And then we skipped out early because we went up to the late show, and we missed Hijinks. And the reason we did that was because they were on the second night as well, so we weren't going to miss them. So we can't comment on what happened with Hijinks on the first night, because we did see them last night.
Probably amazing, though.
Yeah, they were just fantastic. But we seen the late show then at 11 o'clock in the Little Haven Hotel, hosted by Robert Reed. Or
and
opened
your
by
best
Robert
friend.
Reed, and my new best friend, new boyfriend.
I feel like we've all got boyfriends from this, right? You've got Christian, I got Mark Obi, and you've got Jack
Rose. I'm
glad
you're using his name for once instead of just Mark. He's first name basis.
We're all husband brothers now. We're a six-person polygamy cult.
Right, who's going to explain? Yeah, it's true. Who's going to explain the best moments of Jack's late show?
That would be a one hell of a task.
Yeah, trying to figure out which single part was the best part would be a struggle.
Yeah, I liked the bits where it didn't necessarily go as planned, which was all of it probably.
Yeah,
no disservice to Jack, because he absolutely rolled with it and probably killed it better than if.
I think what has to be said is he hasn't done that act in 10 years. I think I remember him saying that about 10. I think he said. He did the comedy set about 10 years ago in a comedy club.
Pulled it out of his back pocket. I've got this I can do.
Yeah. He was absolutely slayed.
I think he was the best performer in terms of, what's it called?
Stage presence.
Likeability, entertainment factor in terms of, well, stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
People love him on stage, and he's just fucking wicked to watch as it is. So he crushed like that, but... He did a Sam the Bellhop routine, but instead of Sam the Bellhop, it's the story of how he really shit himself busking on the streets. And how he had to have his dad come and pick him up because he had shit on his socks. And he had the crowd, I'd say 99.9% of the crowd, actually like holding their ribs laughing, with one person that seemed very offended. which probably made it funnier.
I think Mark Spellman at the back was almost on the floor. I don't think his chair struggled to survive the amount he was belly laughing.
Yeah, exactly. And then he did some like Rubik's Cube stuff, some card magic. He got the last reveal wrong, and then he loaded it on somebody's watch and got that wrong. And it felt like he was doing it on purpose because it was only making the act better.
That's what's so annoying. Everything he did, it felt like it was on purpose.
Yeah.
And so he could have messed up everything and it wouldn't matter. You know, it would have felt like it was meant to be.
Exactly. So now we're in a long distance relationship.
And, the most annoying part was he's this good at performing and he doesn't perform.
Yeah. Like, but dude, he's gone from being a nuclear engineer to a stand up comedian or vice versa, whichever way around the world. Then a magician, he crushes that. Now he's into YouTube. He's been doing YouTube for less time than me. He's already like ahead of me, which makes me feel sick. He's one of those people I was like, I should hope he never meets my wife. You know? I'm glad he's a married man because he would take her from me and I'd have nothing to do to him.
I tell you what, Lloyd, should I do this better than you as well?
Please. Yeah, well, will you tuck her in when you're finished, please, Jack, mate? Thank you.
I'll raise your son as well.
I'll come over. He's already taught my kid how to tie his shoelaces before I got that chance to. Oh, cheers, Jack, mate. I knew I could rely on you, pal. I go and tuck my wife in. You know, Jack does it better. All right, you'll get Jack over here. For God's sake. So that finished off night one. So the next day...
Before we get to the next day, a quick note. We are staying in an Airbnb where Sam's bedroom is actually my closet.
It's not your closet. It's your old ensuite.
I just thought that was worth mentioning.
I next to my bed, I don't have a bedside table. I have a sink and a shower.
It's true.
When I'm finished with my phone before I go to bed, I have to stand up, walk to the other side of my bed, put it on charge, and then walk back.
Also, Sam's not allowed to enter the room or leave the room unless Jake is already awake. And it's a strict policy. So I've had to wait to hear Jake like wake up from his snoring slumber, creep down the stairs. Now I'm thinking 3, 2, 1. Then I hear Sam's bedroom door go. And he comes up and he, are you in there? It's clockwork.
It's my little house elf.
I did go through it once and I was about yay far from having my head kicked off.
You know when you held up your fingers to show how yay big was? You know we're recording a podcast.
I know, I realised that straight away as I did it.
What was he spoke through his fingers so that audibly they could hear the distance. Yeah, that,
it cut off my voice at the end so they could hear how long my voice was.
So, the next morning, we missed two lectures. Mm. We missed Paul Wilson and Mark Hobie. And you caught Mark Hobie. So, yep. Could you fill in the blanks for me? Obviously, Paul Wilson is incredible. Could you fill in the blanks for me on what I missed with the Mark Hobie lecture?
Please? So, Mark Hobie lectured on your attitude around performing. Not both your attitude of what tricks you do and your attitude while performing. The two main things that I remember him commenting on was having balls was the main one, was the theme that ran throughout the whole lecture. He opens his acts with a trick where he lays two cards in front of you and he goes, one is a 5 and one is an 8. You're going to touch your finger on the 8. If you don't touch the 8, then I'm going to leave magic. if you touch the 5, I continue the act. There is no secret to this trick. It's literally a 50% chance. But he does it for the premise of having balls. There's no other reason. If he fails it, he makes a joke out of it. If it succeeds, it's better than any trick that he could have done in the same premise because it's completely fair. But it's that precedent of just having the guts to go out and just take a chance in your magic, because the chance that it succeeds will make the magic so much stronger for the audience. And if it fails, you just do another trick. It doesn't matter. No one's going to remember the trick that fails when there's the trick that goes well and makes everyone completely impressed with everything you can do. They don't remember the stuff that you can't do.
Yeah, and 90% of the time, that trick that failed never really passes as a trick anyway, because you can set it up in a certain way where it doesn't necessarily seem like it was a trick that was going to happen. You were just being bold, taking a chance.
Yeah.
The other thing was your personality while performing. If you've watched his Fizzum Act or what we talked about earlier, he presents himself as someone who has nothing to lose. He dresses in raggy clothes. He doesn't care. He eats like off-brand crisps because he can't afford Pringles. Like, he has nothing to lose. So if anything goes wrong, then there's no worry, because he didn't have anything to lose in the first place. But it's applying that kind of that gutsy kind of, I don't need to prove myself because I don't have anything to prove to your own performances. You don't need to be the kind of sleazy, I don't have anything to lose personality, but you can just apply the, I don't have anything to lose, so I'm going to try something. I don't need to prove myself because I've got nothing to prove to your own performances, which will make you come across as a lot more sincere, and your magic comes across a lot stronger than if it wasn't.
Do you know, it makes you think of a few different analogies, but I suppose if you see the guy come on stage who's quite cocky and arrogant and full of himself, and he goes to start juggling, you know everyone wants him to fail. Right, or when you see a tightrope walker come in and say, I'm going to walk across this tightrope and I'm going to do it with my eyes closed, you go, go on, then everyone's watching them fail. But if you start watching a window cleaner outside a building and they're cleaning the first window and suddenly they climb up to the next floor, no harness, and this is understated and you're like, what's going on? And the next thing, they're climbing up to the fifth, sixth floor story windows, cleaning it with no harnesses on. You want this guy to succeed. He's the underdog, right? And it's kind of like when you're performing magic and you say to, and you, and someone says, can you show me a trick? And you're just not there to perform. And you're like, oh, I've got nothing on me. And they go, please show me a trick. They want you to show them a really good trick. And they sort of go, and when you finally give in, they're like, they're your biggest champion. And this person could be the heckler type personality, but suddenly they're like the best. They're like your biggest encourager. And it's sort of like that with, I'm guessing, Mark Hobie's thinking is that he's like, If you look at this guy and you think he's not going to impress me, he can only impress you. But if you look at a guy who's arrogant, you think you better be impressive.
Yeah.
You don't look at Mark Kobe and think you better be impressive. You're like, what can he show? What's he going
to
do?
Yeah. We watched the boxing the other night and everyone wants the underdog to win.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
You never want to see the guy who's insanely cocky win.
It's true. So. What else did he talk about? Did he talk about any good technique? Not that you could share the technique.
Yeah, I feel like everything else he talked about was about the tricks that he showed. But they were the two biggest things he tried to get along to everyone. They were the two most important parts of his lecture, much more than any of the tricks he did.
Great. Well, that's good to know, because I missed it, and now I feel like I've seen the whole thing. Next after that, there was a 45-minute lunch break. This is what I love, a 45-minute lunch break, not an hour lunch break, a 45-minute lunch break. And then you went straight into International Close-Up with the host, R. Paul Wilson, and Mark Spellman, Yolin Lee, and Jack Rhodes, and they all did performances.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's very hard to say any more about what we've said about all of them. I think what did they do anything, because they pretty much performed everything they showed in their lectures, I think.
Yeah,
maybe. Jack did his slow motion muscle pass, which is like cartoon visual magic
spring thing.
Don't give it away if you haven't seen it. Yeah, but that doesn't really give it away.
That's the name of it, to be
fair. It's crazy, but it was a 45 minute show, three performers hosted by Paul Wilson, doing what they do best. Just the best way to describe it. Even though they're performing to magicians, it was funny actually. They were performing strictly to magicians in that show. But it was what I loved is that, and this like the thing that I struggled with is that they actually performed like they were performing to laymen. They just went for it, which a lot of magicians aren't good at. Myself being like the biggest culprit, I feel.
Me too.
So from there was more dealers. We should talk about the dealers as well. We had Magic Box. We had Mark Spellman, Colin Klaus. Vinny Sagu, who had just the most killer packet material. Andrew Dean, Harry Robson. There was a great selection of dealers and a great jamming area at the dealers table in the dealers hall.
Yeah, that was a fun little area where people could just sit literally right next to the people that just bought products from and jam with the people that bought the products from.
Yeah, it was like a big, like loads of circular tables you could jam on with the dealers scattered around the sides of it, which is the best format for a dealer's room ever.
Yeah.
Ever. So after that, we get to Giancarlo Scalia's lecture. This is like, connoisseur food for your magic brain.
This is the holy water, the manna from heaven.
I don't think we've stopped using the things that we learned in that lecture since we've left that lecture. We were doing a few card tricks just before, and we were still using one of the techniques just as a normal switch in the routine.
Yeah, true,
it just
actually
replaced what we knew.
Yeah.
It was that good. It's defaulted to our standard switch.
Yeah, it's really true. What did he perform? He opened with a three ball vanishing appearance.
Yeah.
I've never seen Giancarlo Scalia flash.
No.
Nope.
I've never seen him flash. I've never seen him give away or telegraph that he's palming. That's the big one with Giancarlo Scaglia. You'll never know. He doesn't have the telltale signs of somebody palming. You don't know. If I am gonna do a double lift, almost anyone, most magicians, you can tell whatever move they're gonna do with enough skin in the game or enough time in the game, you know what they're gonna do purely by the way their body is set in position. For the blink of an eye before they do it, you know what move that's gonna dictate. Giancarlo Scaglia has just sort of managed to delete all that, and he just does real magic, which is. It's also not fair for somebody to be so handsome as well.
Yeah.
Or that's... beautiful. He no, has.
That hair. That hair.
Yeah, he's like a male model version of Hook.
I know that a lecture is good when it's something that I don't necessarily perform, but straight after I have to create something that was inspired by it. And so, very, very briefly, if we can just. The tiniest iota, the tiniest moment of like Black Heart podcast.
Is this the talk about what he said about the insects that are influenced by the Milky Way?
That in itself was absolutely gorgeous. But he has this kind of running joke that he's addicted to aces, which is so funny.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the Ace Productions and things like that. I've never been into that. I love watching it, especially from a magician such as himself. But I've never been into it, ever performing it. But just watching that, hearing how passionate he was and seeing some of the techniques that he taught, I was like, I have to go and try and do my own really crappy mentalism version of Ace production.
Oh, yes, of course. That's what you're getting to. Yeah, because Jake woke up this morning and you're not a card guy.
No.
And he said, can I test something inspired by Giancarlo's lecture? And absolutely fried my fucking brain with it. And I don't know, were you fried?
We were both sitting there like, eh?
Yeah.
You did this?
Yeah, kind of. There was this moment where you were like, do you want that card or this card? And I was like, oh, fuck, okay, I want this card. And then it was like, boom, boom, boom. amazing. One of the highlights of the convention for sure.
Oh, thank you so much. I think you both realised how happy I was by the fact that I had to lay on the floor and slam my head against it. Because all the things that I wanted to line up and worked the first time I tested it.
I thought you had to lie down because of how tired you were after you ran around the whole Airbnb twice after getting it right.
You did, you were like, You actually, you were like my kid after he like peed and only got some of it on the floor instead of the potty.
But anyone who creates knows that feeling. Oh, is this a shot in the dark? Will this trick work?
It works. Yes.
And you absolutely nailed it, like 100%. And then we jammed that for ages afterwards. But that was born of Giancarlo Scaglia's lecture. There was other things that he did in there as well. Like that, especially for you, Sam. Remember how hyped you were on the way he did the dealing?
Yes.
We could say the dealing, how he handles a bottom dealer in one way to speak.
Yeah, there is a technique that he does where he makes a bottom deal into a sleight that I could teach someone that has never done magic before.
Mm.
And fool every magician who's never seen Giancarlo Scaglia.
Yeah.
100%.
100%.
100%. Yeah, I'd say that's fair, right?
I can't amplify enough that this is a bottom deal that you can teach someone who's never held a deck of cards.
I would say that's actually 100% true.
Yeah. Insane.
And it looks better than a bottom deal.
It does. It
looks
does.
Better than a bottom deal because bottom deals look like you're doing a bottom deal.
Yeah.
So that was Giancarlo Scaglia's lecture. There was a break after that. We went and got some food. This time, where did we hit it?
We hit up Kraft Burger, I believe.
Was it called Smash Burger?
No, they serve Smash Burgers, but it was Kraft Burger. We've already eaten.
Yeah, it's true. We had cookie dough. Okay, so after that was the second and final gala show of the convention, but not the last day. This gala show, first of all, I don't know about you guys. I don't think I spoke to you about this, but Tom Brace is actually the bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't do the gala show, did you?
I could. The sad reality of just too many people. I had to go sit outside and look at the, ocean.
Jake went and performed to a bunch of lay people at a bar. I think it's actually pretty badass, to be honest. So
I needed to get some things out of my system.
Yeah, some ideas.
Tom Brace is an incredible compare. I haven't seen him perform, but he did perform a few tricks, and God, they were the most entertaining tricks I've seen a compere ever do, I think.
Yeah, there's something about Tom Brace. I actually feel like he's one of these presenters or hosts or compares that's a little bit too good for a magician. You know what I mean? It's like,
he shouldn't be at a magic convention. If he was on Vegas.
Something like, I don't know, this is controversial. If he was on like something like This Morning or one of those type TV shows, you wouldn't bat an eyelid. In fact, you'd probably think, oh, actually, he's my favourite host out of all this. He's so good. But like, for example, Maurice is pissing himself laughing at this when I said it. There's a moment in the show where he has a little tent. He has someone step inside the tent. He fills it full of, what's it called? Raffle tickets. Zips the tent up with a massive guy locked inside. Then puts an air blower in and then blows all the tickets. And he has to select one ticket.
Crystal maze.
Think crystal maze and then ticker tape. And he gets out, holds the ticket up. And that then is the number he's chosen for a page in the book. And I said to Maurice, I said, can you just believe he did all that? And that's how he got the number picked for the page in the book. And he was like, oh yeah, oh my God, that's the best way to pick a page in a book ever. And we were just crying laughing. It's true. He went through all that to pick
a page. He had a tent, an air blower, a whole book of raffle tickets, a soundtrack, just to choose the page for a book test.
It was crazy and absolutely brilliant. And it was actually an education in if there's a boring part of your show, or potentially boring part, or a part of the show which most people wouldn't even consider a part. It's like, oh, pick a page, number, go. He turned that into a 5-minute piece of hilarity.
Yeah.
And it was just like one part of the trick. Brilliant. An education. Also, Steve Gore's daughter, Deanna, did two performing art pieces, really. Yeah.
Silks and aerial hoop.
Yeah, it was like artistic dance doing silks and an aerial hoop. Some danger elements with the aerial hoop and the silk. It looked like she was going to fall down and like land on her head, and she saves it at the last second. I don't understand that world, but to me, as an untrained eye, she looked like an absolute pro.
Yeah, yeah.
Phenomenal.
I've never seen silks perform live before, and I've seen one aerial hoop. Some of the dangerous stuff she did in that aerial hoop, I think, oh God, I could never, ever do it. Never do it.
Yeah, it was wicked. It was actually quite nice to break the show up a little bit with that too. Like, cause sometimes too much magic can be, you know, crazy. But yeah, she was great. We went from her into Moritz performing for the lay public.
Yes.
This was a feast for the eyes, in a way. He did two card tricks. Or one.
He did two card tricks and the three fly.
No, he did he opened with a three coin appearance and vanish.
Yes, 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 yes.
Then he did a card trick, a printing card trick.
That's what he finished on.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Didn't he finish on? Oh, the hole in the coin.
The
coin with the hole in it. And
He did the appearance. Then he did the hole in the coin. Then he went to the table. And he did a trick. I can't remember what that trick was, though.
It was he had four blank cards. A card was selected from the deck. Then those four blank cards mirror that card. They print and become the selected six of spades in that case. And then everything vanishes.
Yes. Yeah.
Utter perfection. And yeah, but what was so nice was that it was just him on stage. In black trousers, black shirt, white shoes, trainers. And he did quite like micro coin magic.
Yeah.
And there was literally moments of audible gasps from the back of the theatre, from like children and parents, like when he was doing certain parts of his magic. And and it's also, again, it's infectious, like, enthusiasm for it. It does make an impact. Like, that stuff does improve an act. It was great to see. Anything else from the Maurice Select? Like Jake said earlier, like German precision. There's not really much more to say when it was perfect.
Yeah.
It's very hard to add to that.
It's just complete. It's just elegance of magic perfected.
Yeah. He is he's going to be like the future, like, godfather of magic, you know? When he's in his 90s, he'll be the person we all go to for advice and to be told off and stuff. Steve Gore, the organizer of this convention, the amazing Steve Gore, he got up on stage, blew me away. He did a gypsy thread with neon lights. with UV neon lights and then floating. Yeah, it was really, really powerful. And then he did a floating table routine where he called a little boy up on stage from the audience, and he got to hold on to the sides of the table and experience that floating. And I think Steve may have just created a magician there in that room that night. With the experience of literally feeling something levitate in their own hands. It was amazing. It wasn't even a long act, actually, but it was a great little segue point from one act to another. And it was really good. I hadn't seen Steve perform on stage, and he just nailed it. Full of confidence, didn't miss a beat. Just really, really polished routine. From there, though, we went to... we had Mark Kobe.
We've already touched on this. But
what can we say
that
hasn't been said about this absolute idiot? Brilliant idiot. Yeah, I think it was the longest I've ever sat waiting for someone to come on stage.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable to the point of hilarity. And then he just sort of walked on, hello, I'm the world champion of card magic.
Yeah, and that was, I was doing something, I am the world champion of card magic. And that was it.
Yeah, and they were just hurting themselves laughing. That was the point that I was just kind of like, okay, if they don't get the intro, this whole act is fucked.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a layman and watch him.
Oh, could you imagine?
Yeah.
I want to know what that feels like.
The first, after watching him there, the first thing I'm going to do when I get back is just open Discord, screen share his Fism act to all of my friends. Because people need to see this man.
Yeah, they all have, dude, in fairness. He set the magic ball on fire. And then it was finished with hijinks.
Yes.
How good were hijinks?
You can tell that they had a full residency at the Blackpool Tower, because I think they came straight from Blackpool Tower to here.
Oh, is that what they do?
I think so. You can tell exactly why.
Do you know, I had no idea Britain had that caliber of big stage performer for magic.
Yeah.
Normally, those type of acts are reserved to Cirque du Soleil, American. I don't know, I just...
For people who don't know, by the way, hijinks is a circus and illusion act in one.
Yeah. Big, dangerous stunts, three-tiered unicycle with knife juggling, followed by crazy illusions. Four assistants?
Yes, an assistant and three dancers.
And the guy's called Michael Jordan, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And he was... Yeah, he had... I think the best way to describe, you know how like American, you know the best American performers, they kind of like almost robotic in a way. Like they have that perfect smile and everything's great, kind of that.
Yeah.
He had that appeal, but for a Brit, it was kind of hard to describe, like...
Eyes popping out of the head level energy.
Yeah, big cheesy smile, but like every word was dictated perfectly. You could tell he had done this, you could tell that man had practiced that for 100,000 hours, not 10,000 hours. You know, it was absolute precision. I did not expect that act to appear at the end, to be honest with you. So I came out of there quite like, oh, fuck. Like, that was really good.
It was just... as far as I've seen, one of the most polished illusion acts ever. It just didn't miss a beat. There was no pause in between anything. You couldn't take your eyes off it. It was non-stop. When there was a break, there was three dancers doing some of the most complicated dance routines I've seen in a good long while on stage. There's just no stopping, just trick, 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 dance, trick, trick, trick.
Yeah, brilliant, and a great shocking ending as well, like that one last final reveal, so good. From there, we went across to the Steamboat Pub. That was the end of the evening, by the way, to meet Jake, where he was sat down. He just finished performing to a bunch of lay people. He'd revealed the word Titanic, I believe. Wasn't it? Titanic. And we sat there, and I was a bit tired, and I thought, oh, guys, I'm not going to stop out late. I am going to head back to the Airbnb. And then Michael Murray swoops in, and he's like, oh, how are you, man? Oh, come here, brother. Oh, how have you been? Blah, blah, blah. And the next thing, we're crowded around a table. We're all picking different coins. We're all saying, swap it for the silver and the bronze, and... We're getting absolutely fried after fried after fried with card tricks and coin tricks, mentalism. We are jamming ideas back and forth. And I don't know how long we were there, but it felt like we blinked. And the next thing, I also believe my kid is now 7, and he was 3 before I left. So a long time. But in true Michael Murray fashion, I have absolutely no idea how he did any of it. And he had so many whiskies, I'm not sure he has any idea that he was even there. The morning after, I don't think he'll remember any of it.
No, Michael Murray's a... pass for the convention is on our table for some reason.
Yeah, it's in my hands. I'm holding it. This is what I was reading. It's Michael Murray. If he couldn't get in today, sorry, Michael.
But yeah. We didn't take it. He gave it to us.
Why he, man?
Yeah. Why he, man? But caddy, eh? He was... that's for me. That little hour or however long we spent with Michael, just bouncing ideas back and forth. That was the real... it's not even a disservice to the rest of it. That was the real gold for me in the convention.
Yeah,
And stuff like that.
When you are not drinking, it's very hard to replicate the pub kind of energy. Yeah. So I'm glad that you got to have a little bit of pub energy again, but without any of the bad stuff.
It was, exactly. And it was good to know that I could actually be in a pub chilled. I was a little bit on edge. I don't go to them, and it's hard as a recovering alcoholic, I've got to be honest. But you do, there is something that's uncapturable than sitting with than a jam session at a late night at a convention in a bar. There's something that sort of goes unspoken there. There's something that's lost in the ether when you try and remove it from that area. And that's what I haven't had in the last few years. And didn't know I didn't get it at Blackpool this year because I was literally pulled from pillar to post. Yeah. And that was again, thanks to this convention being so intimate. It was another reason why there was something so special. I don't think it was because of this year. I think there's just something that people have not found here, and discovered here. So long may it rain. I don't know how long this convention will go on being undiscovered, until one year someone will finally get the word out to the masses. Go, just in case you didn't know, South Tyneside is the best convention in the UK at the minute. And then suddenly everyone booked, which will be a bit of a shame. But yeah, I don't know about you, that hour with... Sam, you watched a bit of the YouTube boxing as well.
Yeah, my phone was on the table, and I'm not that
comfortable. And so was Sam.
I'm not that comfortable in bars. I don't drink, so I was like, I'm just going to go sit with my phone and look after it, make sure it's not stolen.
Yeah. In fairness though, if you were comfortable in bars, I'm pretty sure you still want to watch KSI trying to knock out...
Yeah. I think there was. I had a bit of crowd around my phone at the end as well.
People
like, this kid's got the right idea.
Have you seen Michael Murray perform? Yeah, but have you seen KSI trying to knock the shit out of Jake Paul? Whatever his name is. Yeah. I don't know about you, Jake. That was one of my complete highlights the entire weekend. Was that?
Yeah, I had a great time. It was just even we were walking home. We're gonna go.
Remember that principal he showed us.
I do.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Neither did he, actually.
Just walking back, grab some food, finish watching the boxing in the Airbnb.
When me and Lloyd were grabbing some late night food, and you ran off and did another piece of mentalism on a lamp.
Yeah, he's like, I'll be back in 2 minutes, and just ran down the street and started performing mentalism like it was called, like summoned, like...
The devil inside of him just had to let loose.
He was basically he was a human dowsing rod. He went and found his audience. But yeah, that was good. And we came back and we all watched the boxing together again. It was good fun. I'm noticing a theme here over the last few days though, guys. So the following day, then the Sunday, which is this morning, again, third day in a row, we missed the lecture. This lecture was actually good wins.
I got up super early because I was super ready to go to see this, and I had crackhead energy and had to sit at the table whilst you two were in bed make some stuff.
Yeah. When you wake me, I would have been down for that.
Yeah.
I was up super early, sat down at the table, kind of forgot the time whilst I was trying to work on some tricks.
Me and I think
and ordering Starbucks.
I think we got up at about the same time, about 8 o'clock, and both simultaneously went, nah.
Yeah, I did actually. I was just exhausted, man. You know.
Yeah.
But yes, we missed the Ashley Gerber lecture, which is good because I wanted to see what her work was. She did a good oil and water She did a good oil and water in her stage routine. And I wanted to see what the work was, if she would tip the work on that. So I didn't see it. But I actually didn't see Ashley at all anywhere over the weekend?
No.
Did you?
No, I didn't. No. I saw her at the hotel checking into a room. I didn't speak to her. She was just at the front desk, and that's the only time I saw her outside of the stage.
Who knows? Yeah, so yeah, didn't get to see her around, so to ask her about it. But I think what time did we get in for? Did we get in for the international close-up session?
Yeah, the blue group, yeah.
So that, again, was hosted by Paul Wilson, Giancarlo Scalia, Marcobi. I don't know why I said that with like a Spanish-Italian accent. Marcobi, probably just go, Marcobi, or Will Champion Front. Moritz, performed three performances. Again, just all different stuff, all different material, right? But actually, I was trying to, in my head, I can't remember these, but I was like 5 minutes late, so I ended up getting called in for like 30% of the performances, or 60% of the whole bloody, 66.66% of it.
It's the punishment for walking in
three performances. I was called up to sit on stage for two out of the three whole sets, so I got to see a different view, which was interesting. Moritz did coins across into my hands, which is awesome. Crazy fooling. I pick any card, I shuffle the deck, I take the top card, it was my card.
Yeah, actually, now that you talk about it, that was really good.
Yeah,
that really could have. Really good. It's the kind of trick that could have ended the act, and I don't think anyone would have questioned why it was ending.
Yeah, no, exactly. I got to see Marcobi, I got some ready salted crisps off him, which was nice. He also did his Fissum finale on me.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen Marcobi's Fissum finale, a signed card is lost into the deck, and the magician spreads the deck wildly all over the table, says, "You are going to pick your card. Point to any card." You do, and it's exactly that card. And it was my signed card. Yeah.
No, the card is picked up from the table at the fingertips. No, there's switching. No switches.
No.
It's
watch the Fissum Act. It's the very last thing he does. I was that guy. And I had my brain turned into shit in front of a room full of people, which was embarrassing. Because I was like, what? I don't even know what face I made, but I do know that I was kind of like, hold your eyebrows down, don't act like you're so fooled, because there's people that, you know, are going to judge you, and then I got fooled. So that was embarrassing.
It's the way these things go.
And then Giancarlo Scalia was wicked, man. He had some really like story-based, great story-based magic. Just some things that inspired me.
Yeah.
I think this was where he mentioned the insects and the Milky Way, if you want to touch on that.
Ooh. Yeah, do it, Jake. Yeah. You recant a story better than I do.
I do. I'm finding it very hard to recall some of these things, just because, you know, when you're that blown away and you just get hit after hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard to recall the specifics, but this, and I don't want to go into it too much in case anyone sees the performance and it's ruined by my recollection of it, but it was a very, very beautiful framing device for the story and callbacks that came back later. And it was, I mean, how would you really describe it? It was predictions that changed.
Yeah, it's beautiful, like love story in a way, yeah. But not a cheesy one.
Hmm.
And it was very, very like simple. Two spectators are sitting inside him. They both take two cards, they think of one of those cards each, and choose to put one away. And, yeah, we won't go into any more detail on that. Not too crazy an end or anything, but just very beautiful. Not what I liked about it was quite simplistic. You weren't focusing on 52 cards, it was just two cards each. Think of one, and the effect works like that. It was just lush, it was really nice. Back to the dealer's room, had a good chat with Andrew Dean, I think it was, and Harry Robinson. And then quickly back into then the I can't say one of the best, it was actually one of the best, probably the best lecture, but then there was another best lecture. Actually, it was three or four best lectures, but it was from my husband, Jack Rhodes. He did fantastic. Oh,
he's no longer your boyfriend in the fit.
Oh, we've progressed by now.
He needed to top us. We've got boyfriends.
He's impregnated me by this stage, in case you didn't notice. So
Lloyd is bearing a child.
Yes, I am, and it's Jack shaped.
It's a little YouTuber.
How next level is Jack's lecture?
Beyond anything else, without even being the same category, it's just insane.
Yeah, it's just.
The amount of insight he has into his industry, it's insane. For how like he hasn't been doing it for that long.
It's a big keynote speech, yeah. I'll say. Interactive, funny as fuck keynote speech with digestible knowledge, applicable knowledge that did not go over the heads of a lot of the people there.
No, which on the surface seems industry specific, and all of it was transferable, and he made the point to say how it was transferable. A lot of people expect you to do the work and out yourself, and he was like, no, this isn't just YouTube, you do this in a performance.
Like he had a bunch of examples of he went through bit by bit painstaking detail of how to light yourself to film at home. Which sounds like the most duh thing ever, but when you think of it, when you watch YouTubers do it, or you watch a video, it doesn't really apply to you. He showed it as a British bloke in his own house, in his shed, how to light yourself to film magic videos, which every one of us there has their own, lives in a house, I'm assuming. No, I don't want to offend any honest people, but generally, all of us there, there was no excuse for nobody to be able to do that. Absolutely none, and he went through it. Step by step. He talked about some incredible things, such as something that he learned from stand-up is that if you have a 10-minute tank, what do you call it, a tank piece?
It's a tight 10.
He said you should be getting 6 laughs a minute, so 1 laugh every 10 seconds. And he said it should be the same. He said he transferred that into his YouTube videos where you try and keep them engaged. He said when you make a YouTube video, you can go back, you can go into your analytics and watch the moment when people click out your video.
Yeah.
And he said, if you don't think this is applicable to you as a magician, then what I'll say to you is this, record yourself performing, because when you watch it back, you can see, just like in your videos, the moments that people start to switch off, what they find boring. Is it a piece of pattern that you use? Is it a process heavy part of the routine which could be scrapped? All these things that you don't think are applicable to you right now listening to this, I'm telling you they are. If you film yourself, watch yourself back critically and remove them, you will be better, undeniably. And it was like very much like, yeah. And actually, from all the lectures there, it's probably the one where if you just literally take a piece of advice from it, you will improve.
Yeah.
You know, some advice is subjective or you know, whatever. If you actually take what Jack suggested, you will improve. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and it delivered in exactly the same way as a stand-up routine or a magic show. I don't know how anyone can make... As someone who has worked in, you know, a lot of different businesses, I've never seen anything that involved a PowerPoint presentation or any kind of presentation be interesting. So in and of itself, this keynote being the most engaging thing... One of the most engaging things I've seen all weekend is insane.
Yeah. Do you know what? He did a whole section of embrace it when a thing goes wrong. And then he showed you a stand-up gig where a trick went wrong. And he was like, and he showed it, like literally, apparently, died bombing. And then he was like, and then he showed you how he turned it into like the best thing he does. And he was 100% right. Mm. But he has so much footage of like his past performances. He used so many clear examples. He had so much applicable knowledge that you could start implementing straight away that, it was pretty much like the perfect lecture. You know? It was hilarious.
Stupid how good it was.
Yeah. I mean, I did a keynote speech for my Blackpool lecture and I pray Jack's seen none of it. So shit compared to it. It was just so crap. So of course can't say enough good things about my husband, but of course he's a brilliant man. That's why I chose to spend the rest of my life with him. After that, it was a short 15-minute break, and it went into how we even like get into this now. The Luke Jamay lecture to finish the entire convention off. Holy shit balls, Batman!
Yeah, that was something else.
Wait! Spoiler alert: Luke Jamay is now a magician doing magic, not mentalism, magic, and he did a magic lecture and fucked everyone up.
Yeah, it's not fair, really, is it? It's not fair.
No, it's not.
No, it was just... He is a waterfall of wisdom. Quotes, little touches, millions of little... I wouldn't say million, but he probably has millions of little... You know those, like, not inspirational quotes, but the type of shit you read and you go, I'm going to use that quote for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
His whole lecture was one, like... I can't even explain it, but it was, like, everything he said... made sense. Everything was, what's the word, he's like an ancient philosopher. in a way.
Yeah, you know, there's I've heard in the past people talk about this kind of Max Maven mantle. When someone wants to know about a trick, they seem to ask Luke Jermaine now.
I think the mantle's been passed on, yeah, for sure. Yeah, do you know what? Amazing spot there. It was right. So, I mean, he opened with McDonald's Aces, the best version ever.
Little Birds, I think he called them.
Little Birds, yeah, is what he calls them to himself. Yeah, best handling ever. He asked everyone, he said, I'm not doing this for my ego. My ego's already confident with itself or something. But he said, show of hands, how many people here were fooled? And everyone raised their hands in the room on McDonald's Aces. Yeah? That's where we're at with this. So then he went from that into coin work. Coins to the table.
Yeah. He asked the same question and everyone's hand went up.
Four signed coins on both sides through the table. And genuine moments, even for me, where I was like, what the fuck did I just see?
Yeah.
Phenomenal. And again, every time he was doing something and teaching it, well, like his how much of a different performer is Jermaine or how unique of a performer is Jermaine?
Yeah,
you know, like he kind of just goes in and he holds court and he tells these beautiful stories.
He's not afraid to literally just demand attention.
Yeah, it's captivating. He has that like Darren Brown captivation energy, but it's with like ancient story. I can't even begin to describe. I can, but I just love watching him perform magic. Anything, but yeah, you see why he's like, you know, a great already, a great at magic, a juggernaut.
Even if only, you know, his first two books on a DVD or so were released, I would still consider him a great.
Yeah.
The amount that he has contributed to so many little arenas in magic and mentalism and mysticism, but now doing this like pure magic stuff is insane.
Yeah. And like, I'm probably, if anyone is a fan of Jermaine's work, you'll know how like he thinks about every detail. Every piece of script needs to make sense. Everything is motivated. Every method hides the other method and everything cleans stuff up. He did that with coins and cards today. So it shows that his brain is just wired differently to other people. And then he finished off with the cups and balls.
Yeah.
Dude. Me. Jake cried.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of a little tear dropping out every now and again, but for some reason, something about that particular cups and balls really hit the spot for me, and I'm not really a fan of cups and balls, but there's something very, very special about that.
It was just such a unique, I think the most unique cups and balls routine I've ever seen. The story behind it, I don't think anyone's ever, it's a very common story you tell before cups and balls, but I don't think it's something anyone's ever taken to base your whole set around.
Yeah. I love the opening line. It's the opening line is something like, I don't want to give anything really, really major away about the routine, but the opening line is something like, so I try and do his voice? No, I'll butcher it. The cups and balls are older than God.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. It's like, that's like that, it's like the man in black God fled across the desert and the gunslinger followed. Or, you know, like the best opening line ever. The cups and balls are older than God.
When a single sentence can be that loaded, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
This is going to be good.
It's about to go down.
That was like the doors to the room just locked.
Like you introduce God into a magic trick, and if you do something shit, it's just... you've already lost.
Only someone like Luke Jermaine could pull that off, because in the wrong hands, that would be the worst opening line.
Yeah. Alright, lads, so anyway, the cups and balls. Do you know they're older than God? Watch the first. Yes, the first one. No, never mind. Sorry.
And it's gone. Look at that. How did it happen?
Have the clean hand. I'll show myself out.
Thank and you. Instead, Jermaine says it, and the air literally gets heavier in the room. Insane.
Yeah. When we came out, we just had like a little random creative jam session before we started recording. I don't even think we realised we were jamming. We were just kind of like high on inspiration. It was a buzz, man.
But I think, to be honest with you, honestly, like, the past few nights, I have had the most insane crackhead energy.
Before we came back for the crackhead energy jam, we went for food.
Again!
We went on a little date.
We did. Well, me and Jake...
Me and Jack took the kids out for dinner. We found them a little Mexican restaurant. We all genuinely wore sombreros.
Yep.
To the Mexican restaurant, and it was gorgeous food, actually. Meatballs.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Chicken wings.
Chorizo.
Chorizo. And what else? Calamari. Mm. And a fresh pint of cold H2O, please, barman. Which was really nice. And we just sat and chatted, and I just gazed lovingly at Jack's beautiful face and thought, oh, he's never going to remember me when he's famous.
God, our kids are going to be so handsome.
Yeah. So I remember thinking, stay cool, like, pretend to be cool, play it cool. Don't get embarrassed. But no, it was a good laugh. We just cracked jokes and...
At my expense, for the most part.
At the boy's expense. But,
the boy's mine.
It's like a little Michael Jackson song. No, it's The Girl Is Mine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, yeah.
Some of the boys, it turns out. I don't know. Am I going to jail for that?
Instead of asking Annie if she was okay, I think you needed to ask me. Anyway.
Sammy,
are you okay?
Let's move on.
But yeah, it was a great way to finish off the convention. Dinner with Jack. Love of my life. Man of my dreams. And the YouTuber that I aspire to be like one day.
Not to lay it on too thick.
No. Nah, it was cool. We had some nice dinner. Did we get cake after it?
No, me and you got cookie dough.
We did get cookie dough.
We did. We went back to Kraft Burger and we got cookie dough. Because...
Yeah. We jammed for a little bit in the restaurant on a new... I won't even tease it.
Yeah, leave it for now. Yeah.
A new trick that Michael Murray said, I will admit that he reckoned he'd only just had a few beers, so you know what I'm saying. But Michael Murray said if he had a gun held to his head, he wouldn't know the method.
Mm.
Should I give him a tease?
I don't know if you should. I don't know. What do you think?
It's a new lottery prediction that I've been working on with the help of a really good friend of mine, David Pierce. I won't give anything away. Who was a mentalist from Ireland, if you don't know. Member of the Society of Secrets. New lottery prediction, and showed it to Michael. It is in its infancy, but he did say. But he'd had a few beers or whiskeys. He'd say if he had a gun held to his head, he wouldn't know the method.
You can't get higher praise than that from a drunk Michael. No.
I've just fueled my life since that moment happened. To be honest, I don't really remember anything else, and in fact. Luke Jermaine, who? Come on. No wonder Luke Jermaine took it. Basically, this is what happened, right? I showed my new lottery prediction to Michael Murray. He told me that. He said that if he had a gun held to his head, he wouldn't be able to work out the method. Wind got around to Luke Jermaine of how good my new mentalism trick is, and he thought, fuck that, I'm doing magic from that one.
Yeah.
So, you're welcome, everyone. Right? Basically, is what I'm saying. It's the butterfly effect. My lottery prediction eventually brought a tear to Jake's eye. That's how strong it is. It did take 12 hours and somebody else to do some good tricks, but it's the butterfly effect, yeah? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I got to, for about 5 seconds, try and perform something that we jammed the other night as well.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a fun one to do something with eventually.
It's got some legs on it. Very unique method. With the napkins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very unique method.
They've got some... Big Usain Bolt style legs on that, I'd say.
You think?
I think.
Oh, thank you, man. That means a lot.
We were playing like lunatics for the first like hour or two. You come up with that, weren't we?
Oh, yeah. So fun.
It's been a great convention, though. And what a way to finish it off. I'm trying to think anything else that went down. But I think you guys can probably just feel from like the energy of this podcast. It's, what is it? 9:30, 20 to 10 on a Sunday. Thursday we all set off to get here. It's late at night on a Sunday. We're still absolutely buzzing from how good this convention was. Definitely the best hidden gem convention I've ever been to.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And like we didn't even see every like we missed our Paul Wilson's lecture. We missed Ashley Goodwin's lecture. We didn't even see everything, and it still surpassed my expectations tenfold.
Next year we're bringing extra alarm clocks.
Yeah.
About 4 each.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to put them all in Sam's room and sleep in late.
Sam's closet.
Yeah. I'm not sleeping in the closet next year.
Sam's little toilet room.
I'm not sleeping in the closet next year.
But yeah, I don't know if there's anything more to say. I feel like I have so much more I want to say. And also we've said it all. Like, there's nothing more we could say.
Yeah. I feel like next episode, there's going to be some unloading. There's going to be a lot.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I want to just, like, type everything up on a train.
Yeah.
Going home.
You two can unload as much as you want when I'm not here.
Thank you. I didn't need your permission, but...
I appreciate the intent. So, yeah, I think that brings us to the end of the... Again, I feel really bad. I feel like I spoke through most of the way through this. So,
honestly, you carried it because...
But the other thing is, we all have colds. Do you have a cold?
I came with a cold, and I finished my cold, and now I have another one.
Oh.
No need to brag.
I've barely been able to breathe, so hence the snot nose sounding all the way through the podcast. But that being said, thank you all so much for tuning in. Hello to anyone, or thank you for coming to hang out with us over the weekend. We were kind of proverbial virgin lambs to the slaughter of this convention, and I don't think I've ever been made to feel more welcome at any convention I've ever been to before, from Steve Gore to the staff of the South Shields Council that put this event on, the bar staff who are serving us drinks and coffees and food.
Yeah, how often do you have the organisers of the event coming up to you? You don't have to go up to them. They come up to you and thank you for coming. Never happened.
Yeah, Martin Duffy, who hosted this for 12 years, I think he did it. He introduced me to Carrie, who's the council lady that runs this. And yeah, like you said, multiple times, the organisers just could not... And it was very chill atmosphere, like in terms of they didn't force you into certain seats. It wasn't strict on anything. It was just... I'm actually like, I'm actually a bit gutted it's over.
I know.
Yeah. I'm ready for another day. I'm ready to do tomorrow.
Same.
But no, I got to sit on a train for 7 hours tomorrow.
Do you know what? This is the perfect thing, guys, right here. Every other convention, the last year or two, I think it is, I am home by this time on a Sunday in my own bed back in South Wales. And you just hit the nail on the head. I'm ready for the Monday here.
Yeah.
I'm not even home.
Yep.
I said to Kaylee, I said, like every other convention, you know, not every other convention, but it does feel like they drag a little bit sometimes. I'm gutted this one's over. It's flown by.
Yeah, very sad that we're going to have to put our clothes back on right now.
I'm going to leave mine off until I get kicked off the train tomorrow. So it's forcing me to stay here for the duration. So anyway, that's the end of the Black Art Podcast, episode 30. You probably didn't get any tricks out of this one. Normally we create, for Sam, if you don't listen to these very often, we generally tend to create in the time of filming a new trick, we're not able to do the as much research as possible live on air. We generally tend to create a new trick each episode, or at least the bones of a new trick, at the very minimum, per episode. So if you came here in this one out of 30 episodes, no new trick, but I think you probably got something cool from just listening to about the convention.
Hopefully.
As it was. Yeah, anyway, we'll be back next week. Thank you very much to Sam Sugarman for being a special guest with us.
Thank you very much for having me both. It's been a pleasure.
It was great to hear your insights, and keep an eye out for him. Search him out on his social media, which is...
sam.s269.
No. All right, that is bullshit. Sam, go
you
and change
this every, you say this every time.
This is a disgusting...
But I have 4,000 business cards in my house for that Instagram account on, so I can't change it.
Yeah, that cost you £7 on Vistaprint.
£47, and I'm not that rich.
Right. It pains me to... That's such a bad Instagram handle. Can we... All right, if I buy you 10 new business cards, can we sit down and change your Instagram handle?
I've got 4,000, and you think if
but
you buy
wrong.
Me 10 new
they've got
new
the wrong
ones.
Username on them.
If you buy me 4,000 new business cards, I'll change it.
I said 10.
Yeah, but I've counter offered.
Right, if you really, really want to waste your time doing this, search for sam.s297463.
No, sam.s269. Please.
Wait, did you make that up yourself, that number?
It's my date of birth.
You were born in 1969?
The 26th of the 9th.
Oh. All right. Okay.
You can put the space in the other place, Lloyd. It works both ways.
I thought it was like, Sam loves 4... Like Danny Tortoise. He loves 4269.
I like to see the funny number go up, so please follow me. You don't have to like my posts. You don't have to look at my posts. Just, I want to see the funny number go up.
No one's ever had... Oh, actually, I did once, because you complained that I didn't like your post.
Yeah. Okay. I liked your post.
Sam, you've never liked a Black Art Co post ever in your life.
That's a... I'm definitely not opening my phone to go do it now. That's a complete lie. It's a complete...
Instead of following Sam, go follow at the Black Art Co on Instagram.
Well, thank you for telling me the handle.
And
you
then wanna... follow Sam.
I can follow it now. Perfect.
And if you want to get in touch with us or follow our Facebook group, then
go on to
theblackartco.com. There you'll find the link to the Facebook page. You'll find a message box where you can send us direct messages to our email address. That comes to the Black Art email. And you'll find Instagram handles. And also the links to the past episodes that we have aired, where you'll find a old treasure chest filled with creative, unique tricks that we're pretty certain have never been thought of before, because we really push it out there.
We'll get Luke Jermaine to sit through all 30 and credit them.
Well, that would be so good. At this point, though, I mean, if we're on episode 30, there's probably about, I don't know, if you're holed up at home with the flu, you've probably got about 2 or 3 days straight of listening material.
Yep.
Full of original tricks being created, so... Yeah, if you're sick, go listen to every single episode.
I just don't know if people can listen to the Scouse accent for 3 days straight.
Oh, wow. Sam's getting sassy because he's been speaking for a little while.
Yeah, right. Get back in the box, Sam.
He's been paying attention to Marco B's...
Oh, no, sorry, they're balls. Best friends, though. It's just Mark now.
Oh, just Marco.
Mark.
Who's Mark? Spellman. What?
What?
Oh, your best friend?
My husband.
Oh, friend. Don't talk about Jack like that. He's mine.
No.
Guys, we will see you next week. I've been Lloyd.
I've been Jake.
And he's been Sam. Peace.